All right. Well, if I'm too loud, somebody wave a hand, and I'll walk back there and adjust it. I was hoping Brother Streeter would be here, but he's not. So, good to have you all in Sunday school this morning. Good to be here in Sunday school as well. And I am too loud, so I'm going to take a walk. I'm glad to live in a country where I can come to church, and for the present time, pretty much unmolested. Now, if the Lord tarries, it's not going to be like that. We're going to end up in America just like they are over across the sea, our brothers and sisters that are suffering persecution. If it keeps going the way it's going, we're going to be in a situation just like them, where our rights are all curtailed, the ones that you and I serve to protect. Amen. They're going to be scrunched up. If this thing keeps going on like it is, over 237 years ago, our forefathers came together to have a place where they could worship God freely. And today, if they came back, my lands. But that's a whole different subject. Probably one I won't stay on. I wore my American tie today because, in honor of, rather, the birthday of America. I got to thinking about this too, you know. Probably if the Lord came back and looked at His church, amen, it may not resemble exactly what it's supposed to either, with the intent of the designers, if you will. So, better not cast too many stones, right? Amen. Today we're going to study Psalms 20. This week, as having some devotional time, the Lord dropped this into my lap. I got a letter this week from a disgruntled admirer. How's that? And I thought that, I don't know how most people react when they get something like that. You know, when somebody criticizes you, I don't know what your first response is. My first response, and I thank the Lord for this because this is not natural. My first response is to do a self-examination to see if anything they're saying is true. Because I want to have a right heart. And if somebody perceives me as not having a right heart, I want to make sure that my heart is right. And if it's not, I'm going to get it right. Anyway, I did that. And this morning in the shower, the Lord spoke to me some scriptures and about a situation when David was being harassed by Shimei. I think that's how you say his name. Cursed and all those kind of things. And he didn't respond improperly. You know, the Lord has put it in my heart that the first response always needs to be forgiveness. And then go to prayer. Not just pray for you and how you respond, but pray for the one that may have accused you falsely or come on you kind of hard, strong, wrong, like that. Pray for him. Ask the Lord to help him. Shimei, he's the one that when Absalom rose up against David, you know, David and his mighty men were coming along and he started cursing at him and throwing stones at him and telling him, ha ha, what you getting paid back because you killed the house of Saul? Amen. That's what Shimei did. Said, hey, it's your own fault you're in this mess with your son rising up. You killed all the whole household of the previous king. And David said, hey, I'm going to check myself, see what's going on. Just leave him alone. And God will take care of it. God's hearing every last bit of it. And God will figure it out, fix it up. Amen. Well, that's all something else. But this Psalms 20, the Lord dropped in my heart. It was kind of concerning how I felt about reading that letter. Amen. But it branched out into a lot wider things. So, all right, this morning let's, Brother Ryder, let's wait on the folks for their offering. And pray over the Sunday school class, if you would, brother.
Heavenly Father, we thank you.
Yes, 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 Lord. Amen. All right, I got a handout, and really the handout is nothing more than just some of Dakes, Dennis J. Dakes' commentary from his annotated Bible on the first verse or first few verses of, I guess it's just for verse 1, from his Bible on Psalm 20 and verse 1. This is not an endorsement of everything that Dakes puts out or anything like that. You know, if we could only use people that were 100% right, the only thing we'd ever be able to use in teaching is the Bible, period. We wouldn't be able to use Spurgeon or Finney or any of those other people, because last I checked, they're human and they're not 100% right either. So I'm not endorsing him and everything he teaches in his commentary. I'm not doing that. In fact, the Bible school students, when I gave my son-in-law the Dakes commentary for his e-sword, he said, "Do you know what they call that at Bible school?" And I said, "No, what?" He goes, "Those are Dakes mistakes." You know, and it's not. There are some things that are really problematic as you study his stuff. He believes in the gap theory between Satan's creation and our and God's creation. He believes in that. So there are some things you can't use, but these are good. And it gives you something then else to study. There's scripture on there this week. You can go and solidify what I teach today. Without further ado, let's turn in our Bibles to Psalm 20. We're going to read the whole psalm. I do have a goal this morning, again, is to encourage us, each and every one of us. Like I said, this last week for me was pretty trying. It's been pretty trying. I'm going to start a new job in another week, next Monday, as a matter of fact, not this Monday coming, but a week from Monday. I'm going to start a new job, and then Karen and I are going to try and start our own business. So, you know, all of that, getting all that stuff going, and is just kind of nerve-wracking. And that kind of stuff. But so there's been a lot of pressure, if you will. And I know your lives are the same way. Maybe not the same circumstances, but there's lots of stuff coming on the children of God nowadays. And I want you to be encouraged today. That's my whole goal today, is to encourage you as we study these things. So let's read this scripture, Psalm 20, and we're going to read the whole thing. "The Lord hear thee in the day of trouble, the name of the God of Jacob defend thee. Send thee help from the sanctuary and strengthen thee out of Zion. Remember all thine offerings and accept thy burnt sacrifice, Selah. Grant thee according to thine own heart and fulfill all thy counsel. We will rejoice in thy salvation. In the name of our God we will set up our banners. The Lord fulfill all thy petitions. Now know I that the Lord saveth his anointed. He will hear him from his holy heaven with the saving strength of his right hand. Some trust in chariots, some in horses, but we will remember the name of the Lord our God. They are brought down and fallen, but we are risen and stand upright. Save, Lord, let the king hear us when we call." Now, just as we perused over that section of Scripture, there were some things that would have stood out, or should have stood out, and would have if you'd had a little bit more time to read it ahead of time. But that as we read down through there, we see quite a few repetitious statements. Or we see several things that are brought up, time and time again. Now, when I read through the Word of God and I see something once, I know that it's in there for one reason. It's in there for me to take heed to. When I see it twice, it makes me stand up and notice and say, hey, God's trying to get a point across. You know, there's some things that aren't even mentioned in the Bible. So if He puts it in there once, it's really important. If He puts it in there twice, it's really, really important. Amen. So as we read down through this set of Scripture, there are some things that we need to look at to say, hey, there's some things really important here. Now, there is a Scripture that goes along with that, and it's in Genesis chapter 41 and 32. It's when Joseph went to Pharaoh to tell him, hey, this is the interpretation to your dream. And the reason that God showed it to you twice. Now listen to what it says here. It says, it's because the thing is established by God. Joseph told Pharaoh that, hey, the reason God showed you that dream twice and in two different ways is because it's established. It's going to happen. It's the truth. Amen. So when we read through the Scripture and we see something more than once, knowing that that Bible, that book is a condensed book, that if it took time to say it twice, it's established. You're not going to change it. Amen. And when it's a good thing, we need to be excited about that. Be encouraged that, hey, there are things in the Word of God. It's not all just though thou shalt not and twice. Two times mentioned and established by God. It's not just like that, but there are good things, encouraging things in the Word of God that we need to pay attention to. God put them in there to encourage us. Amen. And that's kind of how I feel this morning. I feel encouraged in the Lord. Amen. Glory. Well, the first thing that we can look at is in verse 1 and verse 6 of Psalms chapter 20. It says this. It says that God hears. It said that twice. The next repetitious statement in there is the name of the Lord. And that statement's mentioned three times in the Scriptures in just this little passage. Verse 1, verse 5, and verse 7. Now, the power to work, or the power of God to work for us, is stated three times as well in this little short section of Scriptures. In verses 1, verses 2, and verse 6. God answers when His anointed ones pray is also mentioned three times in nine verses. So when we look at that, we've got to stand up and take notice. Hey, God's trying to tell us something. God pays attention to His people. Amen. He didn't just wind us up like some Energizer bunny and expect us to go on our own. He pays attention to His people. Amen. I'm thankful for that. Verse 1, verse 4, and verse 6. Now, from your handout, we're going to get into just two of these things. Pastor, I have 16 pages of notes, but I only printed out 11 for today's class because I knew I'd get through that many anyway. So, but we're going to go through that handout that I gave you just real quick to show you those seven topics from Dake's stuff there. I gave my disclaimer earlier that I use Dake's here, but I don't, you know, support 100% of what he says. But he's got tons of lists, and they're good to study. I like them. Anyway, the first thing, and you can find this on your handout, the Lord hears in trouble. Now, Psalms 20 and verse 1. The Lord hear thee in the day of trouble, the name of the God of Jacob defend thee. And then the second thing is, His name will defend you. Psalm 20 and verse 1. The Lord hear thee in the day of trouble, the name of the God of Jacob defend thee. Amen. Number three, He will send help from His sanctuary. Psalms 20, verse 2. Send thee help from the sanctuary and strengthen thee out of Zion. Number four, he will strengthen you out of Zion. Amen. Same verse. Number five, the Lord fulfill all thy petitions. Now these are seven statements of trust and confidence. The Lord fulfill all thy petitions. Verse 5. We rejoice in thy salvation, and in the name of our God, we will set up our banners. The Lord fulfill all thy petitions. Amen. Number 6. He will hear from heaven. Now know I that the Lord saveth his anointed. He will hear him from his holy heaven with the saving strength of his right hand. Amen. Number 7. God is our trust. Some trust in chariots and some in horses, but we will remember the name of the Lord our God. Amen. Amen. Now, I like horses. I've owned a few horses. They're a living beast underneath you. There are times you cannot trust them. I just leave that go. I've come off them every way you can come off them. Front, back, side, catty corner. I've come off them every way you can. Some of the craziest things, leaves upside down on the trail, just freak them out. And they go nuts sometimes. But anyway, trusting in a horse is not a good thing. So, there are these seven topics or seven items here in his list, and we're just going to deal with two of them this morning if I can get going here. Maybe just one. I don't know. We'll see how it goes. But we're going to go over this one for sure. And it's that the Lord hears in the time of trouble. It's the first one. Now listen, there is no need for me to go over, although I'm going to, all of the troubles that you and I face in this present day as a Christian. If you're really a Christian and you're really living for God and you're really living in accordance to the Word of God, you know where you shun sin and love righteousness and holiness? Do you know that you're the only one that is they're not tolerant of? There's trouble and it's focused directly on you and you're trying to do the right thing. We're trying to do the right thing and live for God. But yet trouble comes our way. On a large scale, it's all across the country. It's like that. We're the only ones that have got no rights. The only ones. I'm being hard-hearted now if I say anything about any sin, about any time. And yet when I go to the Word of God, it tells me what to teach, what to preach, what to think, how to live. Amen. It's not me. I love you. I'm telling you. I put this on Facebook the other day. Jesus loves you enough to send me to tell you to repent. Amen. Don't get mad at me. He loves you. You can't get to heaven without repenting. That's the best kind of love. Tell me the truth. Just tell me the truth. Amen. Us that want to live right are the ones that are sometimes in the deepest amount of trouble. If you read through the book of Psalms, you'll find out that David, he knew what trouble was all about. Now, I got this morning, and I got it late, so I had to write it down in handwriting. I'm going to try and reread it. But I thought it was good. The Lord gave this to me. David knew about trouble from several aspects in his life. He knew about them from Saul. He knew about the trouble that he faced from his sons. And he knew about the trouble he faced from his own sins. And as you read through the book of Psalms and read his Psalms, you'll find out that he experienced trouble from those three aspects, mostly in his life. Now, we right now are living in such a wicked, sinful world. And there's trouble everywhere around. I'm going to make a statement about the times we're living in, and I want you to think about it to see if maybe I couldn't be right. And it's this, that if you compare our time in history and the attitude of the social climate, if you were to go back into the Bible, are there any times that you could compare us to? If you look at where we are in history and how things are taking place out in the world today, is there any time in biblical history that compares to where we're at now? Yeah, there are two that come to mind. One is at the flood. Listen to what it says here. It says in Genesis chapter 6, 5, "And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every," key word, "every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually." And when God saw that, there was only one answer to it. The flood. "I'm going to fix it," God said. And he did. And there's only 8 people saved. Amen. It was a dire time. Every thought and imagination in man's mind and heart was evil continually. What do you think Noah was like in those days? Do you think he ever felt any trouble? Amen. You better believe he did. Just like you and I face every single day that we try to live right for God in the midst of this wicked and perverse generation. Amen. He felt the exact same way. The next one is at Sodom and Gomorrah. Was there ever a time in history when there was wickedness on the scale that there is now? Sure! It was at the flood, and it was at Sodom and Gomorrah. The one was caused a worldwide catastrophe that flooded the whole earth. God said, "I'm going to start over again." The second was a local disaster, though. But it was a disaster just the same. And it was a disaster on those that were committing the sin. And he wiped them out. Wiped Sodom and Gomorrah out. Now, I want you to think about this. I'm trying to give us a parallel where we're at in history. God had a great global disaster take place because of the sins that were so rampant when Noah was in the flood, or before the flood. And then in Sodom and Gomorrah, there was a local one. But God did not put up with that stuff for thousands and thousands of years. He didn't. And yet, how many thousands of years has it been since Christ returned? Certainly, then, as the Bible says, that men are going to wax worse and worse as we wait for the second coming. And we can see it today that we're in the same kind of a parallel society as they were. Certainly, then we can take hope in and acknowledge that there is fixing to be another disaster. It's called the rapture of the church. And it's going to leave those here that are left in sin and usher in the great tribulation. But it's fixing to happen. We're living in a time when our society parallels what was going on back then. The biggest indicator of those wicked times has got to be sexual immorality on such a rampant scale. I'm going to turn my rant on. Okay? I haven't been ranting to this point. I'm going to kind of get on my soapbox a little bit here. But if you look at America, for sure, for one, as one aspect of this societal problem of mass sin going on now, in comparison to the mass sin that was going on in those other places, the rulings that just came down from the Supreme Court, where they overturned the will of the people. Now listen, if you can get people in California, the left of the left coast, if you can get them to put on a ballot how they feel about same-sex marriage, you can get a majority of folks to vote to ban it. Now, I'm not talking about in Goshen, Indiana, which I don't know if the other college churches would even vote our way, but I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about in left coast land. You can get them to vote to ban it. Then you can get a governor to sign it into law. That then nine folks in one place on the other left coast, the right left coast, overturned it. They nullified the will of the people. It was God that was working behind the scenes, and yet those guys, those folks, overturned it. Rant off. We're living in the last of the last days, friend, and it's just about the same way it was when God destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah. It's so parallel. Here's something to think about, though. I heard on the radio this the other day, and I grew up in the Cold War, okay? The Russians, godless society and all that. But when they get it right, you should recognize them, okay? Vladimir Putin signed into law, you know, I don't know that he's the Antichrist, but he's close to it, godless man. Vladimir Putin signed into Russian law that no same-sex couples could ever adopt Russian children, even if they're in America, where it could be legal. Because of the trouble that it causes the young'uns. I thought, hey, you're wrong, you're godless. If you don't repent, you're going to go to hell. But you got it right on that one. And I applaud you for it. But we look at it and we think about how sinful and how rotten our society is, and it causes us to be troubled in our heart. I don't take any great joy in knowing that soon and very soon those folks are going to be punished for their sins. That's not what we're here about. We're here to see them come out, to come to the right. We're living in those times that Jesus spoke about in Matthew chapter 24, verses 3 through 13. Turn in your Bibles there. I'm going to read them. Matthew 24, verses 3 and 13. And as he sat upon the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him privately, saying, "Tell us, when shall these things be, and what shall be the sign of thy coming and of the end of the world?" And Jesus answered and said unto them, "Take heed that no man deceive you. For many shall come in my name, saying, 'I am Christ,' and shall deceive many. And ye shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that ye be not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. And there shall be famines and pestilences and earthquakes in diverse places. All these are the beginning of sorrows. Then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted, and shall kill you, and ye shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. And then shall many be offended, and shall betray one another, and shall hate one another. And many false prophets shall arise and shall deceive many. And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. But he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved. Now, flip over to Matthew, or this is in the same chapter, I'm sorry, verses 37 through 39. Remember, he's talking about what is going to be the sign, or when are you going to come back and set up your kingdom, and when's the end of the world? And he goes on, he tells them all that, and then he goes, but as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For is in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day that Noah entered into the ark, and knew not until the flood came and took them all away, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. Our time on a global scale has got to be running out. As we look at history from the Bible, and we look at our society today, we have got to make the assessment, come to the agreement, that we're in the same place that they were, and that God poured out His wrath on them, and is fixing, if you'll allow me to say it like that, to do the same thing now. Amen. Just look at some of the things facing our time. There's abortion, there's violence, there's drinking, divorce, cheating, lying, drugs, murder, homosexuality, lasciviousness. Lasciviousness is runaway mental and also acting upon sexual desires and lusts. Pornography. Amen. That may be a subheading under that, but certainly it goes along with lasciviousness. It's almost to the point where you can't even discuss those things when you're in mixed company. It makes you blush when you start to talk about some of that stuff. Some of the things that we face. And if we can't make that assessment that we're living in troubled times, we've got a problem. Because, folks, these are troubling, troubling times. Many of us are like Lot in that wicked place where we are vexed every day with having to face some of the things that we're going to see. Now, I'm not supporting Lot and all that kind of stuff, but the Bible did call him in 2 Peter, I believe it is. It called him just and called him righteous. He had a righteous soul. He was might have went to Sodom for the wrong reason. I don't know, but... Well, I do know that. He went to the Sodom for the wrong reason. But it says that he was vexed every day with their wicked deeds. When you get up in the morning and you have to go out amongst them, doesn't it bother you some to have to face some of the things you see and hear? When you're going to work and the person next to you uses God's name in vain or uses foul language or starts to tell you about their social escapades. Doesn't that bother you? It bothers me. I'm vexed by it. When they start up their filthy jokes, doesn't that bother you? It does me. To the point where I've had to tell people in pretty high authority, don't tell the joke if it's filthy and I'm here. Don't do it. I don't want to hear it. Look at me like, whoa. But that's what you got to take a stand. And that's what I was talking about earlier when I said, hey, if you stand for righteousness and holiness, you got a target on your back. Not only out there, sometimes it's in here. Amongst people that are supposed to be supporting us. And that's wrong. Well, when you think about that stuff and all the things you have to face, it's almost enough to get the most positive person discouraged. When you think about it and you dwell on it, I mean, it can drag you into the mully grubs. Man, can't these people see this? Can't they get out of it? I mean, come on! And it almost gets you discouraged. Until you read verses like we read this morning from Psalms chapter 20. Did you miss it? Listen to what it says. The Lord hear thee in the day of trouble. In the midst of the wickedness of wicked times. David in the psalm says, in the midst of that trouble, the Lord hear thee. He begins to pray and intercede for those that will read that this word for all time. And he says, hey, you're going to face some pretty rough and rocky times. It's going to be trouble to your soul. They're going to be all around you. The troubles are going to press in. But in that day, David says, I'm going to pray that the Lord will hear you. Now that don't make you too as excited as I am, but I'm glad that in the day that my trouble comes, that I can rest assured and have confidence in that the Lord is going to hear me. Amen. They won't, but He will. Praise God. Praise God. The Lord hear thee in the day of trouble. Now He is. The psalmist is making a request for us. He's interceding for us as we read the Word that the Lord would hear us. It's His prayer for us, if you will. But it doesn't leave us out of the equation either. I can't rest on the fact that He prayed for me. He interceded for me to be heard in my day of trouble. I can't rest upon that. In the day of trouble, I've got to call on the Lord. Now listen, I've been in some troubling times over the last 5 to 6 years. Something about swamped me out the boat. And the hardest thing to remember at times is that when I'm in the trouble, to call on the name of the Lord. I'm telling you, I'm confessing to you. If you haven't got there, you may yet before Jesus comes. Where you're so under the weight that you can't even say anything but help me, Lord. But spending those times in prayer and praying clean through, they seem to vanish at times when we're in trouble. And we can't just rest on the fact that David prayed for us. We've got to press on through in those hard times and pray ourselves. Because the Bible says there that the Lord hear you, hear us. Not just that He is praying for us that the Lord would hear us, but that the Lord would hear us as we pray in our time of trouble. I want you to think about something. Those two things that I mentioned, those two times in history that we are paralleling now, was there anybody in those times that got the attention of God? Was there anybody during those troubling, hard, catastrophic, sin-filled times that got the attention of God? Yeah. And Noah, the Bible says, found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Why? Because in his troubled times, what did he do? He didn't rest on somebody else's prayer. There was nobody else to pray. He prayed. He got along with God. Amen. And God saw him in those times. Even in Sodom and Gomorrah. Lot got the attention of God as well. Now listen, when angels come to you and tell you they're going to go destroy a city and you should pray that it might not happen and all that kind of stuff, you know, somebody got somebody's attention. Amen. Somebody got God's attention. Lot got God's attention while he was in that wicked city. And God sent and had him rescued out of it. I'm fixing to get excited here. Jesus is fixing to return. Friend, that's all I can see right now. Is that as we parallel this time in history with those wicked times, surely the coming of the Lord has got to be closer now than when I first believed. I mean, it's got to be around the corner. God's not going to shake His head at this foolishness for much longer. He's not. He's long-suffering, but He doesn't always be long-suffering. He is also just. He has judgment. He has wrath. He's going to pour those things out on this world again. Read your Bible. Find out about it. It's going to happen. But my main goal, as we look at this, is for us to be encouraged that in the midst of our trouble, God can hear us. You know, I mentioned these scriptures in Peter about Lot, and I want to read them to you because I don't want you to think that I'm way off base here, okay? Now listen, 2 Peter 2, 7 and 8 says this about Lot, and delivered just Lot. Now that can mean only Lot, or it can mean just as in just. I didn't do a great big study about it. As in right. Just as in right, okay? It could mean that. Vexed with the filthy conversation of the wicked. Now listen to verse 8. It says, for that righteous man, dwelling among them and seeing and hearing, vexed his righteous soul from day to day with their unlawful deeds. If the Bible says that there was just Peggy Streeter, and she vexed her righteous soul every day with the wicked deed, what would you think? I'd think she had a righteous soul, wouldn't you? So that's what I'm taking at. The Bible says that just Lot, and that he vexed himself. Now, I think he's a compromise. I got a whole list of things I think about him. Amen. But the Bible gives him a pretty stellar statement here where it vexed his righteous soul. While we're in our time of trouble, remember I brought up the fact that repetition from the Word of God, we should get great confidence from seeing repetition from the Word of God when it says something to encourage us. I want you to write these scriptures down. I don't think I put them on your handout. They may be in some of those things from the from Dake. I don't know. Yeah, some of them are in those scriptures there. But I want you to hear the repetition in this thought that the Lord hear you in the day of trouble. Psalm 34:15 says this. The eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous, and His ears are open unto their cry. Psalm 37 and verse 39. But the salvation of the righteous is of the Lord. He is their strength in time of trouble. Psalm 50 and verse 15. And call upon me in the day of trouble, and I will deliver thee, and thou shalt glorify me. Psalm 59 and verse 16 says, but I will sing of thy power, yea, I will sing aloud of thy mercy in the morning. For thou hast been my defense and my refuge in the day of trouble. In this wicked time that you and I are living in, let's be encouraged because God has said more than once. Remember, if He says it once, it's important. If He says it twice, it's established, the Bible says, of God. I just read five scriptures where it says that He is going to hear us in the time of our trouble. I don't know what it means when it's mentioned five times. It's really, 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 really established by God? I don't know. But I can take great encouragement in knowing that God really means it, that I can call upon Him in the day of my trouble, and He'll hear me, and answer me, and deliver me, and show me things. Amen. Because every day that I live on this earth, I am faced with trouble. Amen. And every single day, I can rest assured knowing that He hears me when I call to Him in my day of trouble. Amen. Well, I made it through one, Pastor. One point. I did get through 8 pages of notes. I'm pretty proud of myself. Be encouraged today, saint of God, because I'm going to tell you something, and this is not, I'm not saying this to discourage you. If you go on and live holy, righteous, godly in this present world, the Bible says you shall suffer persecution. When you go out of these doors today, you're going to find a world that is at enmity with you and your God. And it is going to cause you trouble and trials, and you're going to be vexed. But be encouraged, friend, brother, sister, because my Bible says that God will hear me and deliver me when I'm in those kind of places. Amen. Be encouraged today as we go to service. Worship Him. He's worthy to be praised. Amen.